Good morning, brothers and sisters. I want to read from 1 John, the first letter of John, chapter 1. And also from chapter 4. The text will be from 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2. I read from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but that does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in Him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. Then I want to read also from chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I want to read again chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, believers sometimes have questions regarding God our Father, about his mercy upon them. And most of the time it is because of their personal sin and their guilt before the Lord, or their lack of knowledge of the gospel, that they tend to doubt God's love towards them, especially when they experience difficulties in their lives. John instructs us not to question God's mercy, God's loving kindness, not to fall in despair, not to continue in sin, not to make a truce with sin. Doubt regarding God's mercy towards us, or regarding his capability to help us in our need, should not be characteristic of our lives. A believer has the assurance that God remains in him and he in God. 1 John 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We need to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who reconciles us with God, and God's love controls our lives. In the passage of 1 John chapter 1, we read that communion with God and with one another is by the blood of Christ. We have fellowship with him because the blood of Jesus the Son cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us as our sin. In our text, this first two verses of chapter 2, it is proclaimed how our fellowship with God is being guaranteed by Christ. In other words, how Christ let us have continuous and everlasting fellowship with Him and our Heavenly Father. John emphatically wrote about sin and the consequences of living in sin. He exhorted the faithful not to sin. He pointed out the necessity of forgiveness. And forgiveness of sin does not mean tolerating of sin, but that the believers abstain from sin. God is not excusing us so that we may sin, but call on us to come to Christ so that through Christ we can have fellowship with God. Therefore, the words of John, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Here the apostle directs himself as a teacher to his pupils and as a shepherd who keep the flock of the Lord. Our theme, we may live in fellowship with God through the heavenly work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first point, the Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate. Beloved, when we fall in sin, we do not abide in God. We break fellowship with Him. But God comforts and encourages us. We need not continue in sin and being separated from Him. We need not think God lacks mercy. In our crisis to struggle against sin and our doubts, we are assured that we have an advocate with the Father. The Lord gives us the assurance from Scripture that we may walk in the light. For Jesus Christ is the righteous. He did write to God His Father. He did write to God's love for His elected. He, now in heaven, does write to God's children so that they may be able to walk in fellowship with God. How does He succeed in doing this? He completed His sacrifice work for us on the cross. He is the righteous one, the one that obeyed His Father. That is undebated. But now He is in the heaven with His Father. He is the great paraclete. He is our advocate. His work is continuing. When you are charged before a court of justice, your lawyer or advocate will plead with the judge that you are innocent. He plead on your behalf. Now John wrote that Christ is the advocate with God for His children. Romans 8 verse 54, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is in this interceding for us. Hebrews 7 verse 25. Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Advocate points to the work of Christ on our behalf. It is no title, it is no name. Christ holds the office of advocate, our advocate in heaven. He speaks on behalf of us. As we fall in sin, we are not acting as redeemed people, that we so turn our backs on Christ and found ourselves in bondage, and we are not able to recover, to justify ourselves. In the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit also is called our advocate. He is the Spirit of Christ and was sent to comfort Christ's disciples. The Spirit is our advocate or helper on earth. He works for the benefit of the faithful, John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Beloved, our advocate in heaven is Christ, and He has two names. He is the righteous, and He is the reconciliation of our sins. We need to be reconciled with God, and the one who reconciles us with God is our advocate, the righteous. How tremendous it is for us that Jesus Christ is our advocate. I do not have to struggle anymore on my own with my sin. I do not have to carry the burden of my guilt in private. I do not have to flee the wrath of God anymore. I have a helper, an advocate. I can call upon the Lord in heaven, who cares for me, who saves me, who guides me with His Spirit. And not only for me, but also for my fellow saints. Abraham interceded for Sodom, Moses for God's people after they sinned with the golden calf, Samuel for the people who was oppressed by the Philistines, Jeremiah interceding for his enemies, Job for his friends. But Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and the reconciliation of our sins, pleads with His Father for sinners. He has met the obedience that God requires from us. Therefore, He may stand before God. God has heard the prayers of the faithful in the old covenant. How much more God accept the plea of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, for the faithful. Consider the promise in James 5. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. The believers, although they often stumble and fall, are not being turned away by the Father. The risen Christ, in His work of advocate, is seated at the right hand of the Father, where He pleads for God's children. Brothers and sisters, what do we need more to be assured of the Lord's love and grace towards us? If He cares daily in such a way for us, then we can be sure that He will guide and defend us in every situation. He will keep us in the covenant relationship with God, our Father. Why shall we question Him for His mercy towards us when we are experiencing trials and temptation? We may suffer, and even brothers and sisters may leave us, but we will not doubt the Lord's love for His children, because we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, in heaven. We are quick to want to restore our own name and our own honor. People have to do right to us. We will even take justice action against them. But being wronged by others, that is not the major problem in our lives. The problem is that we cannot fix the damage of sin by ourselves. Ourselves, we are lost. We cannot restore ourselves the relationship with God. No office bearer can do this for us, but our heavenly advocate, the righteous one, do it. He had restored God's honor. He justifies sinners so that they can have fellowship with God and love their neighbor and be restored in a relationship where they do right to God's name. We want others, and we want God to do justice to us. And that is what God does to us, but not in the way of our sinful hearts, but in the way of hearing our heavenly advocate who speak for us for our salvation. Christ justify us with his sacrifice because God loves us so much. That is why he sent his only begotten Son into the world as atonement for our sins, so that we may live as God's children. Real suffering, real need, is if someone is without Christ, without an advocate in heaven. Let us lift our hearts towards Christ. Our second point, the righteous is the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is righteous. This is the qualification and attitude we expect from an advocate. He met all the demands of God's law. Therefore, we who is justified by him will also keep God's commandments. All the proof is against us. The charges against us are pages and pages full of transgressions. We are under the wrath of God. We have no extenuating circumstances. But listen to the gospel. Christ is the propitiation of our sins. Jesus Christ redeems and liberates us from the bondage of sin and death. He pleads for us with his Father. The New Testament uses two words that describe how the gap between God and us arising from our sin can be overcome. The first is a word that Paul used in Romans 5 verse 11 for reconciliation. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It is used when people were in conflict and fight each other. They abandoned and alienated from each other. There is a rift between them. Now this word describes that when these two parties have been brought together, reconciliation can take place. Paul wrote that through Jesus Christ, we have received reconciliation. He bridged the gap between God and us. He brings us back to God. How does he do that? He is the reconciliation for our sins in person. It directs us to the content of reconciliation. The word John used in our text for reconciliation, namely propitiation, is used at the altar. It is used in regard to the service of the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Reconciliation points toward the work by which sin being made powerless by the sacrifice of Christ. The sin being destroyed, it will no longer do us harm. The depth of the depth are covered by the blood of the sacrificial lamb. God had the sacrifice of the animal carried out by the priest to show his grace. This describes to us how the reconciliation became possible. Christ is our priest and sacrifice. Both terms regarding the content of reconciliation and the way the gap between God and man has been overcome directs us to Christ and his work to justify us. But Scripture is clear. It is God himself who work reconciliation. It is never the work of man. Psalm 130 verse 4, but with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. 1 John 4 verse 10, it is a false thought that we have to convince God to be gracious towards us, or that Christ as advocate should convince God. No. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There is no contradiction between what God our Father and His Son do. God sent Christ to bridge the gap between Him and us. Jesus Christ is the propitiation. His whole person and work is in His atonement for us. 1 John 3 verse 16. By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Christ take our sin away by standing before God as the one who covers our sin by taking over our guilt. In Christ's atonement, we see an exchange taking place. Christ took my sin on His shoulders, and I received His righteousness. As my advocate, Christ pleads for me with the Father. The content of this plea is that He holds on to His sacrifice, suffering, and death as full payment for the guilt of my sin, who saves me from the wrath of God that I deserve. Our Lord Jesus Christ restores our fellowship with God in two ways, as advocate and as mediator. He intercedes for us with our Father, but He also gives us forgiveness of sins through the preaching of His gospel. The initiative for the restoration is also from God. The Father and the Son work together in the reconciliation. In His eternal counsel, the triune God elected a people to serve Him. Jesus offered His blood to His Father, and the Father accepted His sacrifice. And through the preaching of the gospel of His atonement, there are propitiation for our sins and the conversion of the elected through Christ. His sacrifice is sufficient. The Son and the Father are one. It is not that the will of the Father and Jesus Christ is in contrast, or that Jesus has to convince the Father to retain us. The power and size of Christ's redemptive work is immense. The whole world can be saved by His work. His work on earth is sufficient for the sins of the whole world. He did His work for us, His children, so that we come to the light and we receive forgiveness of sins. But He did His work also for the world that is godless and alienated from God. The world needs reconciliation. Christ did enough. All mankind should be able to be saved by His work. But there is a difference. When He refers to the faithful, John says that they have an advocate with the Father. That is not applicable to the world. Christ do not act as advocate for the world. The atonement of Christ is sufficient and of value for the elect, but also sufficient to pay for the world's sins. Because they do not come to the light, they do not hold on to Christ, their sins are not forgiven, they have no excuse for refusing to repent. Christ's work as advocate is His work for His church. They that hold on to Jesus Christ have an advocate, a helper with the Father. The world have no helper before God. Through faith in Christ, who gave Himself as reconciliation, we may have fellowship with God and with one another. 1 John 4 verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. If Christ's propitiation is sufficient for our sins, how shall we then harden our hearts against brothers and sisters in the faith, and hinder them to be reconciled with God? Our plea to Christ as our advocate is not on the ground of what we are and what we can do, but on the ground that He Savior of the world, being sent by his Father, save us by the love and the mercy of God. Let us think what our advocate's propitiation means for us. He recover us for God, so that with heart and mouth we may believe and confess that he is the only begotten Son of God, our only Lord and Savior, so that we honor our God for the wisdom of the gospel, for the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gospel of truth, the gospel of your grace, of your mercy, your love for us. We thank you that you give us salvation so that we can stand before you. We thank you that through Jesus Christ sacrificed, we may be redeemed, and that we may believe in him as our advocate, that we may every day, in every situation, go to him through prayer. Father in heaven, how richly you bless us, how wealthy we are. We thank you that we may know you from your word, from the gospel, so that we may serve you and worship you and give you the honor, because in ourselves we are sinners. In ourselves we are desperate, but we thank you that we may come to you through Jesus Christ, that we are no longer your enemy, but we may be free children of you. We ask that you will bless our churches where the gospel of reconciliation is preached, that it will expand into hearts, and that the fellowship with you and with each other will be experienced. We ask also for this gospel of reconciliation to work in us where we are in the situation at Mukanyu of teaching and learning and other duties, that we fulfill, that in all this we should seek your righteousness, to be in the right relationship with you and with each other through the reconciliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.